Okay, but you're telling me no one uses this one convenient bathroom just because a ghost lives in it? Like, one, there are ghosts everywhere. These kids interact with ghosts on a daily basis. That is not enough to get me to go out of my way if I have to pee. Myrtle, how are you? Still dead? Well, I gotta go, so here I am. Anyway, like every other movie in this franchise, Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hello, I'm Sean Collier. Here's two people who don't know why they were invited to Freddie Mercury's costume party, maybe? It's Robin Hitchcock.
Life is a costume party.
And Camila Adams.
Another one bites the dust.
Bohemian Rhapsody, a very high 71.67 from us, despite my best efforts. Yeah, that's a high. I mean, that's, we've done a lot of these now, so that's not like flirting with the top of the list, but we like Bohemian Rhapsody more than Flashdance, Eyes Wide Shut, WALL-E, Footloose, and Gravity. Just some of the classic that we did not rate as highly
it's
as
It's interesting
Bohemian
to think
Rhapsody.
It's like two of those are ones I tanked and two of those are ones Camila kind of tanked. I don't remember where we all landed on Flashdance, actually.
I feel like we all enjoyed Flashdance.
Yeah. That was our live episode.
Yeah.
But we didn't go, it didn't get more than a 71.67. Okay. The score we proudly gave Bohemian Rhapsody, and I did think we would hear more pushback on the internet, but maybe just no one cares about, no one remembers Bohemian Rhapsody anymore.
Okay, I checked Twitter, and like, come on, is it just the death of Twitter? Like, did people talk about it on Facebook? I also don't go to Facebook.
I didn't see anything, did you?
Yeah, I didn't, I'm looking now.
So, you let us down, folks.
I know.
This is nothing compared to the There's Something About Mary debacle.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. No time for that. What a topic. Our first, yes, we did Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, but that's, you know, that's like saying you covered Spider-Man because we had an episode on
Venom.
Iron Man?
Venom. Yeah. Even, well, yeah, I guess that's a very clean metaphor.
Thank
well
you.
Done. This, in 163 episodes, is our first reckoning with a mainline Harry Potter film. And I'm not going straight into my big rant. You gotta wait. Let's just say...
I don't even know what it's gonna be, is the thing.
Wait. What's your history with the Harry Potter? Camila, I know yours is limited.
Extremely. I know it existed. Yep. I've seen bits and pieces in like, montages of, the top movies and blah, blah, blah. And I know what it is. I understand the reference. But as far as me ever sitting down and watching one, it never happened. Never read the books either.
So this was really your first your first hours. And I do mean hours spent.
I did try to watch the first one just in case, so I would have some sort of reference material, but I quickly fell asleep. So
you're like, never mind.
I'll save this for the one I'm supposed to be watching. And we can get into it later, but I did take the house quiz.
No, let's get into it now because you also did that when we watched Fantastic Beasts.
Did I?
And I am thrilled to find out if you got the same results. I listened to our Fantastic Beasts episode when I was doing my makeup.
Okay,
earlier.
So Fantastic Beasts is okay, part of this whole blobbity bloop. Okay, so apparently it's probably the same, and I don't know if it was the same one that I took last time, but it was a BuzzFeed one. This is the only one that didn't require me to put in my email address. You are 34% Hufflepuff and 27% Gryffindor.
Welcome to the best house.
Hufflepuff or the Gryffindor door?
We're the ones that are kind and accepting and are willing to help, but we're not going to get ourselves into any shit unnecessarily.
There it is. That's me.
It's like, like if things are going down, we will in fact show up more than a lot of the others when things have already started, but we're not going to be the main character. We're going to, We are here to support, and when there is no support needed, we are chilling in our nice cozy house by the kitchen.
That tracks. Mm-hmm. Close mm-hmm. proximity to the kitchen. Yep. Not putting myself in imminent danger for no apparent reason. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. When you took the test, whichever test, mm-hmm. in 2020, when we did our Fantastic Beasts episode, by the way, I'm pretty sure that was our last episode before COVID wrecked the world.
Probably.
You got Slytherin.
Really?
Yes. Oh. And Sean was all, you're Gryffindor, which you also said last week.
Right.
You were like, you've got such Gryffindor energy.
Wrong both right. times.
Yes.
Well,
so.
At least this time you were closer because, I mean, apparently that's like my second house Gryffindor.
Everyone's second house Gryffindor unless you're just evil?
I don't know.
Or true
no,
nerd?
There's a divide. Gryffindor and Hufflepuff are closer to one another, and Ravenclaw and Slytherin are closer to one another.
We're doing
heart versus head thing.
We're talking about this far too much as though it matters before we address the fact that J.K. Rowling is a monster.
You're a Slytherin would say that, Robin.
That was the other thing about listening to our 2020 episode where we like eye roll at J.K. Rowling and like
she had just gotten started.
Yeah. And it was sort of like, you know, like if only she weren't a TERF. Like she says out of touch boomer shit and like the whole Dumbledore is gay thing is embarrassing. But it was mostly like she's embarrassing. 4 years later, and her entire identity is hating trans people to the point where, Sean, you will, I'm sure, talk more about this. But a lot of people who were like true blue Harry Potter fans can't do it anymore.
That's sad.
No, that's my big rant. So look, okay, fine. Let's get it out of the way. That's what we do
no,
on this
show. No, we're
getting
it out of the way because imagine being a trans person and listening to this episode and it's like three cis assholes talking about which house they're in before talking about this.
Right.
Okay.
Her main crime is being one of the most prominent voices, arguably the most famous person in the world, actively, daily contributing to a global culture of harassing and bullying trans people. If you haven't followed this, and I will occasionally say something about how she's a monster on Facebook or something, and someone will be like, what? I didn't know what happened.
People who aren't online do not know about this.
Yeah.
And God bless their little hearts.
Yeah.
And then I always wonder, I'm like, is it right or wrong for me to let them continue to be ignorant about it?
I mean, for their lives, it doesn't really matter, probably.
Here's a quick story.
Go
ahead. Night I got COVID. Some former student of mine was like excitedly telling me that she'd finally decided to get a tattoo and it was Harry Potter related. And
I wouldn't do that. But
had a
5 years ago, I might well have.
Right. And I had a moment of being like, should I warn her?
Yeah.
Because she just seems like someone who doesn't hate trans people and just has no idea.
Yeah.
It's also entirely possible she hates trans people.
Right. And then there lies the thing
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And this is
now
at
I'm pulling back the curtain.
This was at a work event and I was like, should I? Mm-hmm. And I just took the path of least resistance and was like, oh, cool. And then I got COVID and I believe in my heart that that's God
that's
punishing
what gave
me.
You COVID.
Yes.
If you didn't follow this, she started, and this is what was going on when we did this 4 years ago. She started with the half step a lot of people take into transphobia, which is like this dumb argument that's like, oh, my only problem is when I see women's spaces or men's spaces or whatever, I believe that should be reserved for that should be defined by sex, not by gender. Right. That, you know, whatever, changing rooms, sports teams, whatever, which is misguided and dumb, but bears the you know, hint of that's a conversation that you could have in a society that wasn't just constantly beating up on trans people. But because people push back on her for that, and because she's a billionaire that doesn't like being pushed back on, she has said nothing but this for the past 4 years. Every day she's on Twitter doing this and has, you know, cozied up to like really weird far right things because those people will back her up.
Wow.
And it's completely unnecessary because you could have just said nothing.
Right. Shutting the fuck up is absolutely free.
Absolutely.
She could be secretly a monster and none of us would know.
No one would have
any idea.
We'd
be having such a different conversation.
Right.
And to be fair to her always having been a monster, there are certainly hints in the books.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing really about, I'm sure if you dug deep, you would find some weird gender stuff somewhere, but there's certainly a whole race of goblins that are coded to look like Jews and work in the banks.
They're literally they're the race is goblins.
The race of goblins and are she bankers. She describes
them as hook-nosed. And they control all the money in the wizarding world.
Oh my God.
Yes, it's not good. It's not good.
So there's plenty of, there's evidence to be found.
And it's just, you know, there's just the standard bullshit of like, everybody is white, everybody's straight, right? Yeah. And that was where Dumbledore's been gay the whole time came from, right?
The six named wizarding houses are like Asia, Africa, America, Britain, France, and Germany. Yes. Like, it's a very Eurocentric.
Which we actually talk about in our Fantastic Beasts episode. Right. And you were like, I guess arguably they still exist in a world with colonialism. And I'm like, okay, fine.
In any case, she has gone so far and been and just like yells at people and doxes people. See, and
I try to be on Twitter as little as possible, but
she was like, provide evidence of me being a bigot, and the guy replied with 12.
No, but that's she said amazing. Nothing.
Yeah,
no, it was like her offering a story. She's like, I cornered someone at a dinner party and like harassed him about like, do you understand what is happening with men's perversion? And she was like, I can't repeat how much she did not want to talk about this. And it's like, no shit, Joanne.
She's one of those people that are like, oh, if we do this, then any man who wants to walk into a women's changing room will be able to. Ma'am. There aren't security guards outside changing rooms. The thing that is preventing people from walking into the women's bathroom isn't a magical pass that says lady. Right. It's this entire thing is based on things that basically don't happen in the world. And as far as they do, could happen regardless of what or not you said. That's not even the rant I meant to go.
Does actually happen is trans men feeling that they have to use a women's restroom because they are not safe in the men's restroom. And then turfy women attacking that trans man for being a man in their space. Like, yikes, man.
Not to psychoanalyze, but she's got weird gender feelings.
You think?
Her Twitter bio is a writer sometimes known as Robert Galbraith because all of her pen names, including J.K. Rowling, were meant to cause gender confusion. Her book, her weird detective book that got bad reviews, was about someone who felt that they were trapped in the wrong gender's body. Like,
oh my God, really?
She has made comments before that she does understand why women would want to be trans to escape the perils of womanhood.
Oh, that's okay. That is interesting to me because one thing that is always curious to me about TERFs in general is they're so fixated on trans women.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? Because like my cis bullshit that I have to like smack down like internally is that sometimes with trans men and AFAB non-binary people, I'm like, why don't you want to be on my team?
No, she gets that.
Okay, so I was like, I feel like more TERF should be TERFy in the ways that I am.
But
I love trans people, just to be clear. But that's like, makes zero sense to me and never will to not want women to love their lives, regardless of what they were told they were when they were brought up.
Yeah.
I think Sean hit it on the nose that she's probably struggling with her own self kind of issues, like whatever she's got going on, because she's of the age, like 58, as to where it wouldn't have been.
It was never an option for her.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so like there could be like this jealousy, this, you know, envy, this hatred, this anger, and it's like where most of these bigots and racists and people who are it stems from within.
Anyway, we're not even to the meat of the rant yet. That is the main problem. The main problem is that she's doing such massive real world harm with her giant platform and billions of dollars.
And like, just to be clear, it is really bad. Like, yes. And it's getting worse. Like,
oh, she's getting
the cast
so
report in the UK like would not have happened if the richest woman in their country weren't banging that drum day in and day out. And it wouldn't have been taken seriously if there weren't her and the other well-connected wealthy people who she's convinced that this is a worthy cause.
Yeah.
Instead of just straight out bigotry and cruelty.
Far less important is the impact on the Harry Potter community. But to your point some time ago, it is worth noting that like 6-7 years ago, Harry Potter was in a new boom, right? I think it's just because it's the time when people who grew up with the books finally had money. But like, there were, you know, regular Harry Potter events all over the country every year. There was a week at Row House every year. I was involved in like street festivals. Mm-hmm. There were like Harry Potter coffee shops were starting to pop up and like cleverly brand around it and everything. Like merch skyrocketed again. This is when Funko Pops were big too. So they were all that was happening. That was a constant in my life 7-8 years ago. And now none of that stuff is even around anymore. No one is doing those events. You can't find that merchandise. It is gone away. And the only reason is because people don't want to, you know, I don't want to wear one of the 6 Hufflepuff jackets I've bought in my life out and have people go, oh, so do you hate trans people?
Right.
I don't want to go to a Harry Potter event and feel like I'm co-signing that. And it is a shame that there was this, you know, pretty positive fandom. I kind of think most fandoms are bad in the end, but like a pretty positive and creative and fun. For 5 years, I was the voice of the Sorting Hat at Row House every year.
Oh, that's right.
And I would go and people would bring their children who would wait nervously in line to put the hat on. You put every child in Gryffindor and then they're happy. And it was, these were beautiful events, none of which happen anymore. And this is the only reason, because she's the way she is. That's a shame. Here is why eventually it won't matter. Here's why I can still watch these movies and I can still go to Universal. The Harry Potter areas at Universal are the best immersive theme park areas in the world. I can still go and get swept up in the magic. And the reason is we have, I think in the past, I don't know, 50 years or so, over elevated the role of the author in big media franchises. Mm. Undoubtedly, she's very important to the creation of this thing. Right. But so is everyone involved in the movies. The movies are probably a little more important than the books to Harry Potter becoming what it is. So are all of the people who worked on the theme parks and all of the people who did all the merch and got chocolate frogs and Bertie Bott's every flavor beans in candy aisles. The fandom is so, not the fandom, that's the wrong word. The franchise is so much bigger than her. You know how I know I'm right? Off the top of your head, who's the guy that wrote the James Bond books?
Ian Fleming.
You're a nerd. Camila didn't know it. No one says, I'm not going to see No Time to Die because Ian Fleming is an avowed racist, even though he is.
Sure, yeah. He's dead, though. He's dead.
Only recently.
Okay, I just...
It's in time,
yeah.
These things rightfully grow away from the person who happened to write the books. The books are pretty good. She's a good writer in some ways. She's not a good writer in others. She's a fantastic world builder and was very good at applying a formula to each book. They're good. And she, you know, got this ball rolling. But then once it was rolling, it was taken by people who made it into more than she made it. And that's why I feel okay enjoying it personally, but still I'm not wearing those sweatshirts.
Also, I would say that in addition to making it something special, I think you were right when you were saying you accidentally said fandom. Mm-hmm. I think those of you, the fans of the series and of this franchise, are the ones that help to make it something a little bit more than what's actually on the page and on the screen.
Yes.
Because in my opinion, and this is me on the outside looking in, it's like a bunch of people who, like a majority of what makes it up are people who at some point felt like misfits or out of place or somewhere. Yeah. And then this Harry Potter world is like, okay, now I've found my people. I know, just like any fandom, really.
Right.
And, you know, this is someplace I belong. And then those things like the theme nights at bars and movie theaters and coffee houses and theme parks and stuff, that just makes it that much more special and inclusive to everyone. So basically, fuck JK.
Yeah.
That was a very good explanation of why nerds love fandom.
Right.
And I approve of it. Yes.
Right.
It's, you know, obviously we're going to spend forever dealing with separating the art from the artist, especially as artists continue to be assholes.
As we continue to be so connected to them. So much access. I miss the days where I didn't know shit about them.
If Ian Fleming had been as active on Twitter as J.K. Rowling was, I might be more aware of his problematic racism, right? But like, I can't do it. I can do it sometimes, right? It's like, it's so variable and it doesn't always make sense, you know? Like, sometimes I can just be like, for the next 2 hours, I forget who Johnny Depp is, right? And other times I spend the entire time I'm watching this movie thinking about how harmful this woman is and just her ideology in general.
See, I think it's easy. I mean, this is a fandom I'm in. I think it's easier here because if I know that Johnny Depp's an asshole, I'm looking at Johnny Depp, the person, yeah, for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Here, she's not on screen. She didn't direct it. She didn't write it. She's not acting in it. She's barely involved in this thing we're watching.
Sure.
If I sat down and read the book, I don't think I could sit down and read the book again.
That's interesting. Mm. I can see what you're saying.
But I can watch the movie and I can go to the theme park.
Right.
I do want to dismiss. I do want to be dismissive to people. I do want to say, I don't think anyone needs to go, well, I'm not giving her any more money. I never really buy that argument, but I especially...
Why not?
Because she's a billionaire, and right, if she never made another dime, she'd still be a billionaire. So, in effect, your decision to withhold money has no bearing on anything.
It has bearing on how I feel.
Right, yeah. Yeah. I mean, if that's your personal thing, right, if that's your personal belief, if that's what you choose not to do with your money...
Right.
That's fine.
If it's about like, you, go nuts. If you're like, I'm trying to have an impact on her, right, you don't have that ability.
Yeah,
you don't know. McDonald's, Disney, J.K. Rowling, some things are big enough that you can affect
them. That's the same thing. If you go into Starbucks, they get your order wrong. I'm never coming back here again. Like,
yeah.
It's about my feelings, not her feelings.
Yeah. Do you think we've covered it enough to have a otherwise unaffected discussion?
I mean, no.
Harry Potter,
but basically what I'm saying is I can't stop being unaffected, but I will try to let you have an unaffected conversation.
Big spiders. Ron's broken wand.
Yeah.
Harry, just buy him a new wand. Harry's rich, too. I don't know if he got to that part in the first movie.
Oh, yeah, I did see that much.
Harry's got money.
He's got coin.
Just buy your friend a fucking wand. Yeah, I know you don't want to embarrass him, but he's going to kill somebody with that thing.
My thing is, why didn't somebody put a spell on his family to make them treat him better? Or why didn't Harry go live somewhere else after... He was, you know, like after the first one. I mean, I didn't finish the first one, so I don't know if that's covered.
No,
he's probably not going anywhere else because, like, he is just a person whose parents died who, you know, is going to end up with the family members that, if the family members are willing to take him in, like, we can't wizard our way around the laws of England.
I'm saying put a spell on the family.
Yeah.
Don't they
literally do that at some point?
What?
Make the Dursleys forget that Harry exists.
Oh, eventually.
Yeah. So I think Camilla's saying, why don't they do that a lot sooner and make this kid stop being abused?
Yeah, just make him give, like, just be nice to him.
Camilla sent us a text when she put this on saying, is this about an abused orphan?
A little bit.
We're like, correct. Yes.
The actual answer is it provides a very neat, easily repeatable opening for each book. In every book, he's like, these fuckers. And then someone's like, you're going to Hogwarts. Phew. Like, it's a nice... There's a nice little pattern. Robin.
Oh, God.
Want to tell us what...
Sure. I'm not prepared. So this is going to be a... This is the one where...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me when to go.
Go.
Okay. So this is the second one. This is the one where Dobby shows up and Dobby's like, don't go back to school or horrible things will happen. This is the one where the Weasleys show up in their flying car. This is the one where they miss the train to Hogwarts, so they take the flying car to the mean tree that beats you up. This is the one where people start being turned into stone, including the cat and Hermione.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one where Hagrid goes to prison for reasons I can't quite recall. This is the one where Harry has Tom Riddle's diary and starts, like, having a chatbot conversation with it. Mm-hmm. This is the one where Ginny also has Tom Riddle's diary. Mm-hmm. I guess they're, like, passing it back and forth to each other. And this is the one where the giant spiders say this is where the Chamber of Secrets is. They go there. There's a basilisk. Harry gets chomped on by the basilisk and is revived by the phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm missing important things. Tom Riddle's Voldemort.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a tortured anagram.
Yeah, which they change in every language.
And make it tortured in every language.
Yeah, and in every...
I guess that was the end of your...
Yeah.
In every...
8 seconds over.
In every reprinting of the book, Tom Riddle has an increasingly stupid middle name that makes it go to an anagram of I am Lord Voldemort. Je suis Lord Voldemort in every single language.
No.
Dislike. That's how the Malfoys thing ties in. Lucius Malfoy, sexy man, by the way, slips... Tom Riddle's diary into Ginny's basket when they're all in the bookstore at the beginning.
That's how it gets into Hogwarts to begin with.
That's how it gets to Ginny. It is influencing Ginny and making her do all the stuff.
Is Lucius Kenneth Bragna?
No, Lucius is the guy with the long blonde hair, Draco's dad.
Daddy. Yeah. Okay.
That was the important thing I was missing. Gilderoy Lockhart is the Defense Against our Dark Arts teacher in this one. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, the book was making Ginny do all the bad stuff and paint the blood and yada, yada, yada.
Whose blood?
I don't know.
Ginny
I'm not sure where the
redhead boy's sister?
Yeah, Ginny's And then when she got sick of it and threw it away in the bathroom where Harry found it. That is the chain of possession on Tom Riddle's diary. Let me say this. You know what all of this unpleasantness has given me vis-a-vis these movies is the ability to be a little bit more clear-eyed and not hand-wave away things that are bad. So now, as opposed to 5 years ago, I can just say, yeah, you know what? Fuck Dobby. Dobby is the worst.
Dobby is the worst.
This annoying little shit.
The house elf.
Okay, yeah, why?
And Camilla...
He doesn't... What?
I don't... I feel like I want to protect you from knowing the whole arc of what happens with the house.
Haven't we already covered enough?
I don't think I need to know.
So I'm just going to say,
you can guess.
You don't need to know.
Yeah.
It's worse than you think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my.
Thankfully, they cut most of that out of the movies. Yeah. See? Again, they take it away from her.
It is in this book where Hermione becomes an activist and everybody makes fun of her for it?
No, that's one or two books later. Yeah.
Okay, so Dobby is the house elf.
Dobby is the house elf, and he just that whole scene where he's making noise, it's just irritating, and he's just an annoying little character. I know everyone, spoiler, Dobby dies 5 books from now and says, Dobby is a freed elf, and then drops dead, and everyone gets emotional about that because it was at the end of the 7th movie.
He's been free for years at that point, right?
He just annoys the shit out of me.
Okay.
He's a sub Gollum. Gollum at least like has a quip every now and then.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, this is weird. Why doesn't he want Harry to go back to school?
Because he knows the Malfoys are trying to fuck with Harry.
Because he belongs, he belongs to the Malfoys. Belongs to. He's enslaved by.
Literally belongs to the Malfoys. Mm-hmm.
Dobby is enslaved by the...
yeah.
Until Harry gives him a sock... Was it Harry's sock? It was Harry's sock. They show
Harry took off a sock and put it in the book and handed the book back to Lucius, and then Lucius handed the book to Dobby, and because Lucius technically gave Dobby an article of clothing, how a house elf is freed.
Letter, not the spirit of the law. It's a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
So, Sean, you started with...
I was like, and I continue to not care. You told me, please don't care, and I said yes.
Yeah.
No, I will not guess. Yeah, this is true.
Our histories with Harry Potter?
You started reading the books.
Did we cover this in
The
Fantastic Beasts?
I can recap for you. Basically, Sean came to these books surprisingly late.
Yeah, and I remember you like ran to the store and like bought or waited for like the next one to come out or something like that.
No, they were already all out at this point.
No, they were all out, but I read them pretty quickly, like over the course of less than a year, and went all in and, you know, bought a lot of sweatshirts. And
were you a child?
No, I was like in my early 30s.
Oh.
Yeah.
Around 2016 when this happened, because it was right after you saw Fantastic Beasts.
Yes.
It was like you, in response to Fantastic Beasts, some people bullied you at work about being a Hufflepuff.
They were correct.
And then you were like looked into it and you were like, oh no, I am.
Yeah.
And then Liz and Melanie said, mm-hmm. you should just read the books. And you did.
And I did. Hmm. And they're pretty good and really like... addictive and easy to get through, and it's easy to get swept up, particularly when they're at the time there's all this cool stuff. It's like, oh, now I can go and I can get the gear and I can go to these events and I can, you know, watch all these movies that are already out. I don't have to wait for the next movie. Mm. And
it was even after the movies were out that you
all the
when did the last book come out? Like 07?
I think I was in high school still, so that's like 03. I think the last book is 03.
It was definitely way after.
It was. Harry Potter, 07. No, you were right.
Okay.
You were right.
I was like, I'm pretty sure my parents were dead. Sorry. <Aww. laughs> It's like my internal clock is not wrong
when it
comes
to that
stuff.
What's your history? Did you read these at the time?
The first three, because like the first three were out for a while before they started to become popular in the U.S., and I read parts of the first three to the kids I babysat for. And then when the fourth book came out, my sister was really excited to read it. And so I read it alongside her.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, the movies were pretty much in full swing.
Yeah.
And I was really excited for the fifth book. And so like 5, 6, and 7 were books that I got the day they came out. and like there were two in a row. I think it was 5 and 6 where they came out when my family was on vacation. Mm-hmm. And it was like 1 year my sister bought them for us at the airport.
Oh.
And we were like, you're not allowed to read on the plane. Right. It's like, but I also remember like reading book 6 and my siblings read faster than me because I don't read. And being like, don't tell me what's happening. And then they like the mood got really grim in the lakeside cabin. And I was like, oh, something bad happened, didn't it? Mm-hmm. And I was right. Yes, something bad did happen.
I mean, really, the first thing is before any of this, I went to Universal for the first time and saw the Diagon Alley, which you do see in this movie, where yes. they go shopping at the building, is fully recreated. Every fun. Store, all the food and all the fun. You know.
Do they have bad Diagon Alley too?
Yeah, Nocturne Alley.
Nocturne you can, Alley.
It's like 30 degrees colder and there's like shrunken heads nice. Singing in the windows and there's, yeah, it's great. And that was the first thing. And I do remember thinking like, this is such a cool world. I'll bet this is a cool world to hang out in books and movies. And that was really the thing that came first. And I've never really thought about why I really like all millennials. I really like the Hogwarts houses stuff. I really like the like teams that we get to build around that. But I don't know what speaks to me other than, you know, this is why the Fantastic Beasts movies didn't work. Harry Potter isn't the main character of this series. Hogwarts is the main sure. character of this series. I think I might have even said that on the previous episode. I think that's one of the coolest settings for fantasy I've ever encountered.
Right. I mean, all the weirdo misfit kids get to go be weirdo misfit kids together. Mm-hmm. This is like Camila identified.
They learn magic.
Right.
Like, yeah.
And it turns out they're not weirdo misfits. They're better than everyone right, else, yeah. right?
This movie was released November 15th, 2002. The latest facty ever. The 32nd number one movie of that year. It made $88.3 million its first weekend, easily dethroning the previous winner, 8 Mile, which was in second in its second weekend. Lost the following weekend to, hey, speaking of James Bond, lost to Die Another Day the following weekend.
Which one was that?
One of the later Pierce Brosnan ones. Then regained it over Thanksgiving. So it is a 2 week winner, but with Die Another Day in between. Made a total of $261.9 million, fourth for the year behind Spider-Man, The Two Towers, and Star Wars Episode II. That's a very fitting list of things because Harry Potter is the fourth highest grossing movie franchise of all time.
Huh.
Behind wow. only Marvel, Star Wars, and Spider-Man alone, and the however many Spider-Man movies. I mean, there's like 11 or 12.
So, but that's like a Venn diagram. Like, that includes right. the Marvel. Like, that Endgame counts for that.
I don't right? know if Endgame counts, but like Spider-Man No Way Home certainly okay. counts. So, right. Hey, expensive. But nope. Well, this is one of only two Harry Potter movies not nominated for any Oscars.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that when I was listening to our Fantastic Beasts episode, because you said that no Harry Potter movie won an Oscar until Fantastic Beasts mm-hmm. inexplicably won Best Costume Design mm-hmm. in 2016.
Long coats.
Justice for the little yellow dress. Yeah, in La La Land. So I was all ready to say, I know it didn't win any, but I had guesses for what it was nominated for. But I guess it's totally fine. It was nominated for nothing.
There are two. This and Order of the Phoenix were not nominated for any. All the others were, mostly for score is a lot, sometimes for visual effects.
Production design seems like a worthy nomination. At least did they do it for the first one, I would say. Like the realization of Hogwarts in this series is very well done, yeah. in my opinion. And I only partially think that because I am a Pitt grad, mm-hmm. and one of the great joys in my life when I was a Pitt student was just sitting in the Cathedral of Learning, minding my own business, studying, and seeing the prospective freshman come through and go, it's like Hogwarts.
Yeah. It really is.
I wonder if they still say that. I'm guessing we're running out of years of kids saying that.
Well, check back with me on the Letterboxd list.
Okay.
This is, speaking of things that distinguish this one, this is the only Harry Potter movie with a post-credit scene. Did either of you see
Absolutely
it?
Absolutely not. Sure and didn't. Let me tell you, I was desperately trying to finish this before I had to go to work last night. Mm-hmm. And I texted Colin, there's still 20 minutes left.
I know. I don't think I finished like the last 7 minutes of it. Yeah, I just couldn't take it anymore.
And then it kept there just kept being scenes. Right. And I was like, I don't care.
You know how these end. We all go to dinner. Dumbledore's like, Gryffindor wins, and everyone claps. And
I truly,
Hagrid comes back. He gets a hug.
Truly did not care about who has the most house points.
That didn't happen. He canceled all tests.
Yes.
At the end of this one.
What are they going to use their tests for? Anyway, I was so beyond ready to be done watching this movie that I turned it off and was delighted that there were 11 minutes of credits. But I guess there were 10 minutes of credits and 1 minute of post-credits.
It is very, very brief. We go back to Diagon Alley and look in the bookstore, and Gilderoy Lockhart's new book, Who Am I, is on sale. And he's looking confused. It's just a cute little gag.
I will say, I have a lifelong grudge against Kenneth Branagh. Because he hurt Emma Thompson, and because he thinks he's Laurence Olivier, and no, sir, you are not.
How did he hurt Emma Thompson?
He cheated on
her.
Oh,
wait. I was confused. I thought I was thinking of Hermione.
Emma Watson.
No. I just have always found that guy obnoxious. He's so good at
this.
He's so fucking good in this. And I don't know. Is it a Ben Affleck and Gone Girl situation?
I think so. He finally found his spot.
Or does he know? Does he know? How stupid he looks? Is he in on the joke?
I think he does.
Okay. Do you think Ben Affleck knows about Gone Girl? Okay.
No.
Absolutely.
Because I think Ben Affleck did know. I think Ben Affleck is smarter than we think.
Maybe.
I also think Gwyneth Paltrow's goop is a long joke, so I give some people more benefit of the doubt.
Is it still happening?
Oh, I think so. I don't know, actually.
Well, only $1,200 per product, you can find out.
Right.
This is also the longest of the films.
I'm
sorry. Not by much. None are shorter than 130 minutes, so they're all more than 2 hours.
It really did feel like a very, very long
time. It is a very long movie. This was the second lowest grossing domestically and globally. Both the first movie and the last movie are billion-dollar movies at the global box office. The tomato meter score on this was in the middle. It's 82%. The high is 96%, but this is the only one with an A+ cinema score. In those 8 movies, only one got an A+ cinema score, and it's this one. And Roger Ebert gave this 4 out of 4. Let me jump ahead a little bit. I think this one is just okay. This is not one of my favorite ones. I think the first one's really good. I think Chamber of Secrets is really good. I think Half-Blood Prince is really good. And this one, I'm like, it's fine.
I can't be objective. I
meant Goblet of Fire is really good.
Okay.
I said that a minute ago.
I liked Prisoner of Azkaban a lot.
Sure. Well,
Cuarón.
Gary Oldman.
Because that is directed by Alfonso Cuarón of Gravity, and coming off of E2 Mamatambi in 2001, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban.
He was like, one for me.
2003. Chris Columbus, who did Home Alone and Mrs. Doubtfire and lots of family entertainments. I don't think he's a good director, but I do think he really set the tone well in this series.
I think that he's a good he's not a great director, but
He knows his niche.
Exactly. Yeah. And he's good at making easily digestible family fare. He was a very good choice for who to direct this movie.
Yeah. And he was originally supposed to do all of them, but he did 2 and was like, that's really enough.
I think I feel like this, they ended up landing on a different director who stuck around for
David
the last,
Yates right. did the last 4 and all 3 Fantastic
Okay.
Beasts.
Yeah. So yeah. I feel like, unless you have someone like a David Yates who's like, this is my thing and I'm going to keep doing it, the amount of just pressure and nonsense involved in a Harry Potter adaptation, it makes a lot of sense to me that it would be a director's franchise where they'd be like, we're just going to bring in someone else to deal with this, and then they will put their mark on it and vamoose.
And that was Alfonso Cuarón in the next film.
And his mark was basically that people sometimes wear regular clothes.
They start wearing hoodies and jeans instead of the robes all the time.
Which I liked.
Yeah. No, that one's good. This one I think is just okay.
Yeah.
It does feature the final film performance from the legendary Richard Harris.
Who seems actively dead. This was some Dumbledore. This was some real Joe Biden in the debate. Are you really alive right now, Richard Harris?
The Dumbledore Camilla you saw in this one was in the first 2 movies and then died. He died shortly before this movie came out and was replaced by Michael Gambon for the next 6 movies.
I just spent most of the time thinking, how is this not Ian McClellan?
It is not. He was busy.
Otherwise occupied.
Yeah.
Busy I think literally, I think he was in New Zealand. Yeah.
A few fun facts. Moaning Myrtle. She's 37 years old.
At the time of filming?
At the time of filming.
Moaning Myrtle. Is that the
ghost in the bathroom?
I thought she seemed a little fucking off. Like the voice?
That actor's name, I believe her name is Shirley Henderson. She pops up in other stuff every now and then. Yeah, Shirley Henderson. They did not want an actual child because they knew that she would be back and didn't want a ghost to age. They wanted the ghost to say the same thing.
So they were like, let's find a 37-year-old who's plausibly 12?
Yeah, and they did. She's the oldest person to play a Hogwarts student on screen.
Well, all right. When you fuck with the transparency, it'll go ahead and de-age you a little bit.
Yeah.
What else? Rupert Grint, severe arachnophobia, no acting in the spider scene, legitimately terrified.
So
the whole time.
I saw this movie with Liz. This was back when we were little. This was, I think, maybe one of the first times I ever hung out with Liz.
Oh, wow.
And Liz has a terrible fear of spiders. Mm-hmm. And like, she had obviously read the book. She knew what was coming. Mm-hmm. We were also late to the movie. And I remember it being a whole thing of like, Liz needed to sit in the end of the aisle so that she could leave during the spiders mm-hmm. part. But then because we were late, I don't know if that happened. Mm-hmm. I just remember this being a huge source of stress is like Liz going to this movie, knowing that in the middle of the movie, she's going to freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
Aww. Yeah.
For Rupert Grint as well. As good as Kenneth Branagh was, last minute replacement.
Oh, for whom?
Hugh Grant.
That would have worked.
He filming went long on 2 weeks' notice, and he had to back out.
Never seen that one.
Irony.
Yeah. And finally, John Williams basically did nothing on this film. This is one of those times where he was like, I'm busy, someone else. His second in command was a guy named William Ross, and basically just started messing with cues from the first movie to put it together.
Remix.
In fact, he did so little that for a brief period of the Quidditch match, it's just music from Star Wars Episode 2. He was like, I have this lying around. It seemed to fit.
God, that Quidditch match lasts forever. Also, what a stupid sport.
Yeah.
Just dumb.
Yeah. That is not among J.K.'s great inventions. Is a sport that makes no sense and will kill children every time you play it.
Need to have, like, she invented Quidditch. Great. They have this game that they play on brooms. You never needed to go that far in depth. No. We never needed to know the stupid rules. Just be like, they're on their brooms again.
You mentioned the kids could get killed at any point in time. That was my biggest takeaway from this movie is like the amount of adults in this film who are willing to sacrifice a child at a drop of a hat.
That never goes away.
I wouldn't have put a Whomping Willow in the middle of the children's courtyard. I maybe would have built around it or a fence or something.
Or they're just like, we've got this Chamber of Secrets. Don't worry about it.
We're looking into it as we speak.
It's okay.
It's like some schools have asbestos. Some schools have a basilisk.
Camila, we've waited all this time. All right, this was your first. How did you feel?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the appeal.
Yeah.
And everybody, solid performances. Everybody across the board.
Boy, did they luck out with those kids. Those are kids they cast when they were 9, right, and they all ended up working. Yeah.
Right. But I just can't. I can't care. Like, I find
you're better off.
I find zero interest in what's happening, and like things like the Quidditch match, like those scenes, they're just so fucking long. Things like, and then like with the flying car, there's like all the shenanigans that go on. And I get it again. Like, these are a bunch of kids, and they're like, ooh, magic, and we're new to it, and blah, let's see the tomfoolery because there's other kids watching it. And I get it, but it's just not for me. But I do appreciate, I'm like digging around here, poking around the interwebs about Harry Potter and stuff, and the fandom. I love that fucking characters get real dates of birth. Yeah. Like Sirius Black, November 3rd, 1959.
Mm-hmm.
And is it worth it for me to go and watch? Because I do love me some Gary Oldman.
That's Prisoner of Azkaban,
yes.
Right?
So
a lot of people say that's easily the best movie, and it's the next one. So you are
right after this
one? You're set up for it.
I was going to say, like, if you're ever going to do it, now is the time. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And also, Gary Oldman is extremely charming.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's my dude. So. Well, if it's the next one, sure.
I'm thinking about it, and there might not have been a worse one. I mean, if we hit, if we hit like Half-Blood Prince or something that was way deep.
I don't even know if I ever saw. I know I didn't ever see the Deathly Hallows movies. I don't even know saw Half-Blood Prince.
This was not a good one for you to start with, Camila, because
it's not very good.
It's not that great. And like the real, like, here's what this is going to be about is only hinted in the first two. It gets going in the third.
Gotcha.
Plus, one of the differences between David Yates, who eventually took over, and Chris Columbus. Chris Columbus was trying to pack everything in. This is the longest movie, and it's a relatively short book. The David Yates movies are about books that are three times as long, and they're shorter than this. Because he just was like, we're not putting all this in there.
Yeah.
These books are too long. We're going to condense it. This is kind of the most uncondensed version of one of these movies.
That doesn't surprise me. That makes a lot of sense. I was thinking about a lot of the scenes in this movie. Like, I don't really know why this is necessary. I guess it is world building stuff. Like, the scene where they are with the screaming plants.
Right? Like, horrifying.
I realize the screaming plants end up being part of the plot solution, but not in a way that matters. Right?
No.
Just be like, we got this magic potion. Great. Yeah. Right? So I'm like, why are we watching this unusually long scene with unusually annoying sounds in it?
Because it was in the book. It's in the book. No complaints from me. Professor Pomona Sprout is one of the only prominent Hufflepuffs in the world of these, so I'm glad that she's here. No, that's unnecessary, and there's a lot of, you know, the Quidditch thing goes on forever. Although I don't know why, I really love Kenneth Branagh accidentally making his bones disappear.
So funny.
And then the arm goes all floppy, and they have to get the Skele-Grow bottle to I love that sequence. I like this because I like these things. If I didn't like these things, I probably wouldn't like this that much. That's pretty much my conclusion after.
But Tony, why? I'm assuming because Daniel Radcliffe just got nominated for a Tony.
And won a Tony.
Did he?
Bless Good for you. Heart.
Won a Tony for Merrily.
Tony, why? Because of a Tony.
Of a Tony. For Merrily We Roll Along. Mary Beth and I saw it about 3 months ago. He was great.
Awesome. Good for him.
He did a very good job. And it was a very good part for him, but he did a very, very good job.
Who is in the Richard Linklater one that they're going to be filming Until I'm Dead?
Beanie Feldstein is the woman. They recast. I want to say someone problematic was in it at first, and then they recast.
This is why you don't make movies over the course of 20 years, Richard Linklater.
Paul Mescal and Ben Platt are the two. It's Paul Mescal, Ben Platt, and Beanie Feldstein. It was Blake Jenner at first? Really?
Who is that?
I don't know who that is. Oh, yeah, he was married to Supergirl, Melissa Benoist, and she alleged domestic abuse, and then he got kicked out of the movie and was replaced with Paul Mescal. Good move. Also, why Tony? I mean, it's early pre-production, but the reboot is finally happening.
The what?
The original Harry Potter series reboot in the form of a Max original series. Oh. There's going to be a Max series. There's going to be a season for every book, which is what the fandom has clamored for so long, because they're like, there's so much in the books that the movies didn't have time to deal with. It give us a full TV series for every book.
Wow.
I mean, it could be good. It depends on the director and the production design more than anything.
I have a couple notes here. One is that the kid who plays the Quidditch announcer grows up to be Magnitude on Community. Pop, pop.
Huh. Didn't realize.
I was excited to find that out. I'm adding a point for Malfoy's delivery of, I didn't know you could read.
I didn't know you could read.
Improvised line.
Oh, great.
Tom Felton forgot his line, and that's what he came up with on the spot. And it's great.
Yeah, even his
then
little...
Then I'm adding
little,
2 points.
His facial expression, even after he says it, he considers it, and then he's like, accepts it. Okay.
Because he's not saying it in a mean, it's like one of the only things that Draco ever says not out of malice, and that is it's a mean thing to say, and that, or it sounds mean at first blush. Anyway, love that part. And then my question for you, Sean, as someone who knows these things, how old is Dumbledore? Is it like a Moses situation where he's like 900? Or Yoda situation?
Close, but not quite. Like, he probably dies at like 130.
Okay.
Like, they live a little bit longer, but not hundreds and hundreds of
years.
They
show old man Richard Harris talking to Tom Riddle, and it's like, wait a second, you're Jude Law in the 20s.
Yeah, that all got a little fucked with the
Law
Fantastic
Dumbledore and the
Jude
Fantastic
Law
Beasts.
Dumbledore in the Fantastic Beasts movies. And they got Professor McGonagall into the Fantastic Beasts movies briefly, even though she would not have been born yet, but according to those ages that Albus Dumbledore died at 115, which was relatively young for a wizard, is the answer that I just Googled.
He was born August 1881.
Okay.
Okay. There you go.
The books take place in the 90s.
Yeah, and he dies June 30th, 1997. Yeah.
What I forget every time is that Lucius was about to straight up murder Harry in the middle of Hogwarts.
Was that
at
what
the
that
end.
Was?
He said half of Avada Kedavra.
I wasn't, because they captioned it with something different, and I was like,
he said Avada.
Okay, yeah.
And pointed his wand. He was just gonna murder him.
Yeah.
With a witness in the middle of Hog. He was pissed.
Don't give a fuck.
Yeah. He has immunity.
I like this. It is not one of my favorite among the movies. It really hurts by taking Hermione out of action for
absolutely
half of it.
73. I'm gonna go 48.
Mm. 50. I can't make a
yeah
a real decision.
I'm like, if J.K. Rowling weren't a monster.
Nice reflex.
If J.K. I just almost dropped something. Okay. If J.K. Rowling were not a monster, I would probably be in the high 50s on this. And then I'm like, I got to deduct a bunch of J.K. Rowling as a monster points. And then I add a few extra points for things like, I didn't know you could read.
57. 57 okay. is the final score. I bet if we did this 8 times, the best of these movies would end up at about a 65 and the worst would end up at about a 50. And that's where it ends up because of all this stuff that we talked about. Let's hope we do not draw another one immediately. To the bingo card, nothing. I got absolutely
and
nothing.
We're, because you guys weren't mean enough to us.
Yeah. Like, come on, where's the engagement?
I don't know. Unless chamber counts as a body part.
No, there was no public library and there's no revenge.
Private library.
There's nothing about revenge. No.
I mean, Voldemort has a lot of revenge in him, but he wants to conquer everything.
Right, he's motivated by good old-fashioned evil stuff.
I mean, he's really pissed that Harry is still alive, but it's not revenge, per se.
All right, fair enough.
Next time.
Mary Beth always points out that the actor playing young Tom Riddle is oddly hot for the primary villain of the series. Mm. She always stipulates he was an adult. That guy is about 24.
Okay.
Yeah, for someone who would turn into Lord Voldemort.
He's a bit of a pencil neck.
A little bit. Oh, and I almost wrote this down. Putin thinks that Dobby is modeled after him. and got big mad about it. No one has ever confirmed that, but Putin is convinced that Dobby is supposed to look like him.
It's like, let's work on your self-esteem, buddy.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah, no, I know, totally, it kind of can.
When you point it out, sir.
Yeah, when it's there.
Papa, can you see me?
But come on.
I wasn't thinking it, Vlad, but now I certainly am.
Oh, that says so much about him.
Right?
Sorry, I just had heat stroke for just a
few moments.
No, I
know.
We'll try to keep it quick on You Can't Handle the Truth because we've been here for a while. That was an awful lot. I'll just lightning round, even though I've watched a lot of stuff, but I lightning round. Kinds of Kindness. Sure, if you want to, but you don't have to run out.
I was expecting Kinds of Kindness, movie of the year.
No.
Okay.
Because
I just didn't know how in the paint you are.
No, that's why I can defend last year's pick more vigorously, because I'm not like
Robin, he said lightning round.
Sorry.
I'm not like a Yorgos stan. Okay. Sometimes I love him, sometimes I don't. This is a triptych, as you may have heard. It is three different stories, and it is really transparent that he had three half-baked ideas for a movie, and rather than fully develop one, he just smacked them together and called it a project. It's very well done. The cast is great. Willem Dafoe, Jesse Plemons, Emma Stone, fantastic. Margaret Qualley, so cool, but, you know, it's very good if you watch it, but you don't have to watch it. Horizon, Kevin Costner's $400 million Western series that absolutely no one is going to see. Horizon, more like Borizon, am I right? It's long, it looks pretty, whatever. Here's what I am surprised at. I'm shocked that the following are not reversed. Maxine, pretty good, I liked it, cool movie. Quiet Place Day One, 10 out of 10, amazing.
Oh,
I really would have thought I was going to swap those.
Yeah.
You know, Maxine, I gave an 8 as opposed to the 10 I gave X and the 9 I gave Pearl, which is still, I liked it a whole lot. It is a very like cold, nasty, bleak kind of a movie. So it lacks some of the charm of its predecessors. It's still really good, but it's very slightly the weakest of that trilogy. Mm. Whereas Quiet Place Day One is easily the best Quiet Place movie. Lupita is fantastic. It's so especially the first act is so gripping and so emotionally devastating. You know, it's the guy who did Pig
Right.
He didn't just take the check and do another Quiet Place. He was like, no, I'm bringing the ability I have to make a movie about a stolen pig be the saddest thing ever. I am bringing that to bear on this Quiet Place. It's the first 10 out of 10 I gave this year. Wow. That is the one where I'm like, no, you have to see Quiet Place
I
day one.
I don't want to see that movie for many, many reasons. And one of them is that a lot of the praise I'm seeing for it kind of revolves around, this is a movie that is exactly the movie that we need in this moment where it feels like the world is ending.
Yeah. Maybe
because it is to help you
feelings.
Accept the world is ending.
I don't want to.
And I was like, no, thank you.
Yeah. But if you do, and if you like those movies, it's the best one of them. Sorry, John Krasinski. I guess you shouldn't have gone and made your imaginary friend movie no one saw. Yeah, that's my lightning round. Robin?
I didn't see Maxine. What did I see? Hang on. I feel like I came in with so many things, and now I'm feeling the pressure of the lightning round.
I also saw McCabe and Mrs. Miller.
Oh, damn it. I'm so mad you've seen that before me.
It's pretty good. Okay. Slow. It's you can't hear what anybody's saying. Like a sub Christopher Nolan level of what? What did you just say?
Oh, God, I hate that. Okay. All right. Things that I saw. I saw... Godzilla X Kong the New Empire.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, I honestly kind of liked it. Listen, and this is a movie that I had planned to see in the theater and didn't because it got bad reviews, and then it worked great at home. Listen, first of all, it is about my disabled son King Kong. Like, I could not believe when they were like, King Kong has a toothache. I was like, how is this a movie that I'm watching? And then it's like, King Kong needs to have an arm brace. I was like, I'm in love with this movie. And then Godzilla curls up in the Colosseum like it's a cat bed.
I did like that.
I'm like, come on, four stars.
I liked the fight. It was now we're going back to some humans who are doing a thing. It's like, I don't care. Just show the monsters punching.
The humans... were, you know, the way that they are. What's his face? Dan Stevens is having a good time, which is fun. Problemista, Julio Torres, Tilda Swinton movie. I liked it probably too much because, like, the premise of this movie is a guy learning how to operate with the confidence of an eccentric white woman in the way that we say operate with the confidence of a mediocre white man. Mm-hmm. And as a 40-year-old white woman who, you know, yearns to be eccentric, I don't want to be as bad of a person as Tilda Swinton's character here is. And so I don't like being like, if only I keep being awful, I might teach some young gentleman to be awful to his own benefit. But that's kind of the plot of the movie. But it's very amusing. I enjoyed it very much. And I also watched Beverly Hills Cop Axel F, keep calling it Axel AF. Which is not the title of it, but maybe if they make another one, should be.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Totally fine. Great. Basically, I was thinking it is sort of like they put the soundtrack of all the previous movies on shuffle and then have scenes in between them.
Mm-hmm.
So if that sounds fun to you, you're right. It is.
I know that direct to streaming movie releases are dying because a whole ass Beverly Hills Cop came out last week, and this is the first I've actually heard a person watch it.
Yes. You're right. You
like
are right.
One of the biggest comedy franchises of all time has a full new movie, and people are like, I might put that on, you know?
It truly was I started, you know, like Netflix starts playing one of the scenes, and the scene that they were playing, the person who plays his daughter is very charming, and she was in that scene, and I was like, okay, I'll give this 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Also, my cousin-in-law's boyfriend worked on it, so I had like a slight extra bit of buy-in. So anyway.
Better or worse than Coming to America?
Roughly equal this is fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Camila, lightning round.
Back to Black. Remember what I said about, you know, how the use of music in Bohemian Rhapsody was amazing and, you know, thoughtful. This was not. No. They just kept throwing fucking Amy Winehouse songs in there and for no apparent. This movie is unwatchable.
Very bad.
Essentially. It's
now, the actress was good.
Really? Because I felt she was like really, I don't know. She was good in doing an Amy Winehouse impersonation.
Sure.
I don't know if it was the directing or if it was the writing, but it was a very shallow Amy Winehouse impersonation, in my opinion. Like, it felt like it just felt like there was no depth to this person at all.
And certainly not for the script. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would stay far away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Roadhouse.
The new one.
The Jake Gyllenhaal one.
Yeah.
God bless him. I mean, it's it's a straight to Amazon Prime movie. Yeah. Like, it's what you would expect. Mm-hmm. It's not like Roadhouse the original was some cinema like masterpiece.
No. Hold on now. Are we sure it's not?
I'm not, because okay. It's very limited, my memory of it. But it was a movie. Mm-hmm. And
no one can deny.
Right, yeah. And it had its moments, but I also have so many questions about wasted characters and just time and energy and effort.
They spend so much time on that. What is he a rest fighter?
Isn't it Conor McGregor?
Yeah, they spend so much time on that guy. He's so boring.
Right, yeah. And my biggest thing is like when he goes to rescue the girl on the boat and he decides to blow the boat up without knowing where she is on the boat first.
Yeah, also that guy gets thrown many boat lengths away and then just continues villaining. I'm like, that man is dead.
This has a Fast and Furious level of, I think you die.
Yes.
But it's definitely a so bad it's good kind of
thing. I enjoyed watching it for sure. Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So there's that. And I watched the documentary MoviePass, Movie Crash.
Oh. I keep not watching this because I don't want to be sad and miss my MoviePass era. How is it?
It's very good. It's very informative. It's like, wow, because you learn a lot of things about the franchise, about the service that you did that I didn't know. I didn't learn. I learned a lot of stuff about it, and they take you very well through like the height and the fall and the reasoning why. And they're like very clear about, they even have one of the dudes that they're talking to, one of the dudes who was his fault, like why shit got like, and it's just like, you know, an Icarus situation. Mm-hmm. You flew too close to the sun. Mm-hmm. But I think they're like revamping now and they're trying to redo.
That's what they said.
They sent me an email telling me that I could be on the ground floor because I had a movie pass.
Me too. Yes. And I was like, yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's real cute.
But it's worth the watch. Like the documentary is very good.
You reminded me, and this is a good counterpoint for everything we said about JK. You can go on your Netflix and watch the documentary Outstanding, Comedy Revolution. Watch that.
Okay, here's the thing. I assume, did Netflix produce that?
Yes.
Okay, because
it was tied to the Netflix is a Joke Festival.
Yeah, it was so fucking weird how they're like, we're just going to talk about LGBTQ people in comedy. Towards the end, we will mention Dave Chappelle, but not in any way that criticizes anyone who, I don't know, gives him hundreds of millions of dollars.
That part was weird, but
I could not get past that cognitive dissonance.
Yes. Yeah. I hope you can, because what you'll be rewarded with is a great history of queer people in comedy, but also comedy in queer culture in a really interesting way.
Listen, it is good.
Yeah.
It's good. And also a ton of comics I really like are in it, and it's nice to see them talk. The moment when Susie Izzard asked Tig for pronouns, it's the cutest I've ever seen in my life.
We skipped the trailer. I'm going to executive decision that's fine.
Yes.
You can assume what a Harry Potter trailer sounds like. The Letterboxd list I did want to mention was Letterboxd in Lockdown. It was a ranking of the 500 movies that were logged the most between March 20th, 2020 and March 20th, 2021. And this movie was 143rd.
Wow.
Philosopher's Stone, Sorcerer's Stone was even higher. And in fact, those are actually down slightly from the master most logged ever on Letterboxd list. Chamber of Secrets is number 72 all time.
Oh my God.
In terms of being logged on Letterboxd. So I think people are still watching them. I think we're just quiet about it now.
Well, I mean, it's also different. Every year she becomes more and more.
That's
this
true.
Is my only thing, right?
Yeah.
Like when we recorded in 2020, we were like, oh, she's a TERF.
Yeah.
And now that is her whole deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, stop listening to her. Don't look at her Twitter. Don't report on what she says. I really like that when they did that big reunion special, they were just like, you can't fucking come.
Yeah.
Everyone who was involved with the thing and alive was there except her.
Yeah.
That is exactly what we should be doing.
Yeah.
Let's draw a movie. It's been long enough. We're up here. I mean, I'm just getting used to the heat at this point.
I almost showered this morning and then I remembered.
I lost 10 pounds since we started.
So I used to put those milk mustache ads on my wall.
Yeah.
And I also had a crush on Patrick Ewing. So I had Patrick Ewing's one. And in his milk mustache thing, he said, I sweat 10 pounds out a game. And that has stayed with me.
Wow.
For 30 years.
Oh, I don't like that.
What? Okay. Do you remember the movie Titanic? Not what we're doing. Do you remember Titanic? Do you remember Kathy Bates in Titanic.
The Unsinkable Molly Brown starring Debbie Reynolds?
Yes, we drew The Unsinkable Molly Brown starring Debbie Reynolds.
What the hell
is that? So that Kathy Bates character in Titanic was a real person named Molly Brown who survived the Titanic and became a something, a society figure.
I think she already was a society figure.
And 50 years after the Titanic sank, they made a musical about it with Debbie Reynolds playing The Unsinkable Molly Brown. Robin?
Debbie Reynolds was nominated for Best Actress. That's why I'm aware that this movie exists.
It's a musical.
When she first appears on Will and Grace as Grace Adler's mother, the episode is called The Unsinkable Whatever Adler. So
cute.
Yeah.
I mean, that is definitely not like watching a Harry Potter movie.
No.
So, sure.
I was going to have to, in air quotes, watch this at some point in my life because I did expand the Oscars quest back.
Mm.
So I'm happy to do it.
This is not the first time I've gone to you and been like, have I seen that movie, Robin? Do you think I've seen a Debbie Reynolds movie? If I've seen a Debbie Reynolds movie, what is it?
I don't actually know with you saying that right now. I'm like, I don't know. I mean, you know who she is, right?
I know who she is. Oh, so well, Singing in the Rain.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know what? I haven't seen Singing in the Rain since I was like 10.
I've seen that a bunch.
And... All right, I can't breathe anymore.
Okay, sorry.
Harry Potter in the Chamber of Secrets, November 15th, 2002. What was the number one song in America?
J-Lo.
No.
Justin Timberlake?
No.
Ja Rule.
No, closer.
Closer?
Ja Rule is closer than your previous guesses.
Ashanti?
No.
Outkast?
No. I mean, you're not going to remember because this episode has been 2 hours long, but it's been hinted at. This answer has been sideways referenced in this
Eminem.
Episode.
Lose Yourself.
Lose Yourself.
Academy Award winning song.
Oh, that's right.
Eminem went to number one as soon as the movie came out and held it for the rest of the year.
Good for it.
Big hit. Is that his biggest hit?
It must be, right?
I think it kind of is. Like that or Stan.
The song is as big as
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard Stan on the radio.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope not.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I feel like there's an edit. There's a radio edit. You only get like 10, like a couple sentences.
It's mostly Dido. That's why they released the Dido song. It's like, people want to hear this, but nothing you say.